Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
U.S. gymnast Kyle Stevens commenting on the impact that the Olympic doctor had on her said this.
After my parents confronted you, they brought you back to my house to speak with me. Sitting on my living room couch, I listened to you tell me, no one should ever do that, and if they do, you should tell someone. Well, Larry, I'm here, not to tell someone, but to tell everyone. You convinced my parents that I was a liar.
That's Kyle Stevens talking directly to Larry Nassar, the longtime national team doctor for the United States Olympic program. Writing about this in the Indianapolis Star, the series was called Out of Balance, is Mark Alicia, sports business reporter at the Indy Star. You can read his work a variety of ways, certainly at IndyStar.com. Mark, it's John Williams, and you're on WGN Radio in Chicago. How are you today?
Doing well. Good afternoon.
This is insane. While we are all coming to grips with this, is the gymnastic community just coming to grips with this too? Did nobody know? Was this that well kept a secret?
Well, the abuse from Dr. Nassar started about 23 years ago. And he was a master con man, a beloved man. He was recognized as the foremost gymnastics doctor in the country. He was the go-to guy. He was revered in his community. And he was nice to all these girls. And they've testified the last week and today that they made him feel, or he made them feel right away, as if they were the most important people in the world. And in gymnastics, there's kind of what we've found was there's a culture of silence that we hope will start to change. But I mean, there were some people who reported him before our story sort of broke this open in September 2016. There were reports to a gymnastics coach at Michigan State University who was very close to Dr. Nassar and didn't take it seriously. There were reports to police in a small town in Michigan, and they bought the explanation that it was legitimate medical procedure. There was a report in 2014 to a Title IX complaint to Michigan State University, and that was explained as a legitimate medical procedure, but one of the people Michigan State University consulted for that was a doctor who was a protege and very close to Dr. Nassar.
He was abusing these girls. What exactly was he doing?
Well, I don't know how explicit you want to get, but it was using his ungloved fingers to penetrate, and under the guise of this being a legitimate medical procedure. And our understanding is that there is that type of procedure that is accepted, but it's very rare. And when you do it, the doctor's supposed to wear gloves. Nassar didn't wear gloves. You're supposed to have a chaperone in the room. He didn't do that. And if you're doing it to a minor, you sure as heck better get permission from their parents and explain to the minor what's about to happen. None of that occurred.
It's understood that he was doing it for his own gratification.
Correct.
How many young women did he so abuse? I thought I saw somewhere there was at least 150 impact statements.
Right. After our first story, a woman named Rachel Den Hollander, very brave, came out by herself by name, Rachel Den Hollander from Louisville, Kentucky. After that story, it just snowballed. And now there are more than 150 people who have asked to speak at the sentencing hearing. And as one survivor victim said today, those are just the people who've chosen to come forward. How many more are there? Nobody knows.
Well, was it systematic? I mean, did he do this exam, if you will, to every single one of the women so that all of these gymnasts that I've seen waving to us on TV over the years for the United States, is it quite possible that he had abused all of them?
No. There were people who have said, including some of Simone Biles, the elite Olympic athlete, who said he hasn't, he did not abuse me. No, he did not abuse everyone, but he often he volunteered at a local gymnastics club every Monday night. Dr. Larry would come, and it was sort of he'd be alone with girls in a back room, and he would do his procedure. These were it's hard to understand. They were they were so young, and this was the great revered doctor who they were so lucky
right.
to be able to see.
Yeah,
and he was
that.
From he was at the Olympics, and he would give the
how old are the girls we're talking
girls
about? How old are these young ladies we're talking about?
Well, as young as six. That the one of the first people to testify for her, she was a family friend, and she babysat the kids, and it started when she was six. She was the only one that I know of so far who testified about something that was not under the guise of medical care.
How is it, though, doesn't it sound a little bit like what happened to Penn State, or doesn't this sound like what happened in Hollywood with Harvey Weinstein? But you would think that these teenage girls would say, "Ooh, I hate that doctor. Why? Because I don't like the way he touches me." Oh, really? Me too. And that very quickly you would achieve critical mass and the sympathetic parents would go to bat for the kids. How did it not snowball that way sooner?
No, yeah, first of all, like I said, there were instances where adults were told and they didn't do what they should have morally and as responsible adults. So maybe it could have been stopped. I know a lot of the survivors believe it could have been stopped. The best explanation is that even when people talk to each other, some of them said they didn't even really understand what was happening. They just knew they didn't like it. So they might have even been at an age where
mm-hmm.
they just didn't even understand sexual abuse.
Yeah.
And a lot of the survivors who are just coming forward this week said that they didn't until our story came out and Rachel Den Hollander described what happened to her. They didn't really even to that day know that it was sexual abuse. It was to them. He was the great, kind, revered Dr. Nassar, the guy who carried Carrie Strug off the floor at the 1996 Olympics after her famous vault while she was injured.
Well, Michaela Maroney knew what was going on. So this is in the New York Times Sunday. An Olympic gold medalist said she signed a non-disclosure agreement in 2016. This is the New York Times reporting by the Wall Street Journal. It said she got $1.25 million from the Gymnastics Federation so as to be quiet about Dr. Nassar. Do you understand that to be true, and what do we make of that?
We have not on our end independently verified the payment, but what Maroney has said is that she was in a difficult financial position and in a difficult psychological position and needed help. And from the standpoint of USA Gymnastics, as you can probably imagine, gymnastics to the general public matters 1 week every 4 years. The Olympics, that's where they make their money. That's where kids get encouraged, inspired to go sign up at gyms all over the country. They have to make that they wanted a clean run-up to Rio, and they paid her off.
The Federation did, not the doctor, the Federation. I mean,
No, right. USA Gymnastics.
But I mean,
right.
that's a whole nother level of complicity then, isn't it? I mean, I understand the doctor trying to hide his deeds, but How does the U.S. Olympic Federation not get involved in this on behalf of the girls? You've answered my question, but that doesn't make it okay. So what happens to those administrators in women's gymnastics?
Yeah, well, there was fallout today, even. The top three members of the USA Gymnastics Board of Directors, the people responsible for the oversight of what's going on here at the Indianapolis headquarters and other places, resigned. And that was a big deal because the chairman, who had been there in his position of oversight for 18 years, just seemed to be taking a defiant stance to everything. But he's gone. The president of USA Gymnastics resigned last March. So there are some things happening, but to a lot of the survivors, victims, it's not enough yet.
Yeah, do we know much about the well-being of these young women? I guess there's so many of them, I'm asking a pretty broad brush question here, but
yeah,
how are they all doing?
Well, to see the sentencing hearing, person after person after person coming up and giving profoundly emotional testimony. A lot of the women said that being able to do that was helpful to them. It helped them heal. So for that, the judge's decision to let everyone speak seems quite reasonable.
Not to Dr. Nassar.
Having said that, no, he's right. He's sitting at the witness stand facing all of these women. But there were also lots of people crying and breaking down, and but many, they were able to gather the strength to even just show up in a place where they knew they were going to be on camera, and they knew that, as one of them said, the world is watching.
Well, we all have heard the stories about how if you want to be a great tennis player or golfer or gymnast or swimmer, you give your kids to that place in Florida or to that place in Arizona or California or Utah, and then they go take your little kid and they make them into this Olympic star or this world-class tennis player or golfer. And on some level, I think we've all kind of come to grips with that. I'm rethinking all of that now. The parents need to be more involved. There can never be private physical exams of these kids. I think there should be criminal punishment of the people who are in oversight positions and are negligent to that. How am I doing so far, Mark? What do you think?
Yeah, no, you're really well. I mean, the Caroli Ranch in Texas is the official, well, it was until last week, the official training center for the U.S. gymnastics.
Oh, yeah. They don't want to go there now.
They've closed that place.
Yeah.
So that that was a place where parents literally were not allowed.
Well, did Bella or his wife know about this?
Anywhere.
Did Bella or his wife know about this?
They are the subject of a civil lawsuit. They are named in one of the major civil lawsuits as being liable for what happened, because Larry was doing his thing sometimes in athletes' bedrooms with nobody else around. He was doing his
unbelievable
quote unquote therapy. Yeah, it's a very, very sad story, but inspiring in a way too, to see what they're calling themselves now, an army of survivors. And they are going to they have made their voices heard, and I think they're going to keep making their voices heard.
Well, we've seen how the women have rallied around one another that were abused or maltreated in Hollywood. But those were women who were in their late teens, early 20s, say 30s, who were being asked to do unspeakable things or just ridiculous things. But it's unspeakable that you would ask children in single digits or 12, 13, 14-year-olds to, you know, put up with that. So it just strikes me as maybe harder on their psyche. Maybe not. I don't know.
Well, I don't know either, but I do know that a lot of the women who were abused at a young age are now adults and have spoken out quite clearly about what they're feeling and what they think should happen with Larry Nassar and USA Gymnastics. And like I said, a group really has formed, and a lot of people keep referring to themselves as part of an army.
Well, one last question. Go ahead, Mark. Finish that.
Oh, I was just going to say the first person you the clip you played before I came on of Kyle. One of her quotes that I even saw on a poster at the Women's March, just on a news report from over the weekend. But one of her quotes was, "Larry, what you didn't understand," something like this. "Larry, what you didn't understand is little girls become strong women."
Yeah.
Who can speak out and keep you in jail for 125 years, maybe.
It was hard for her parents to deal with that, though, wasn't it?
Yes. If I recall, she was the one whose father did not believe her, and it caused, over many years, and it caused strained relations and psychological damage, and it was... Just awful. But, there's been story after story. Just when you think you've heard it all, something else comes up. And
I understand that he took his life, too,
really
her father. Yeah. It's 251.
Right. Right.
Okay. Well, so there is that story. And, the only good about it will be if we alert ourselves to it and don't let something like this happen again. Writing about it in the Indianapolis Star. The series was called Out of Balance, right? Are you continuing to write along these lines, Mark?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Out of Balance was the first story. It had nothing to do with Larry Nassar, the very first story in August of 2016. Because of that story, Rachel Den Hollander of Louisville got in touch with us and said, I'm not sure this pertains to your subject, but I want to tell you what happened with me and Larry Nassar. And
wow.
From there, it snowballed to where we are today.
As I like to say, if you don't already... Today would be a good day to subscribe to a newspaper. Mark Alicia writes for the Indianapolis Star.